Your Stand. With your hosts, Caitlin Cutt, Gary Martin, and Ben Tugler.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Caitlin.
Hi.
Is here.
It's just me.
Gary's not joining us today. Gary's got some traveling to do for her job.
Corporate, whatever.
Corporate sellout.
She's literally the only person out of the three of us with a real job.
I know.
Right now.
Gary is the only one who pays taxes on this podcast.
Oh, no. You still get to pay taxes on unemployment, by the way.
Oh, on unemployment, too?
Uh-huh.
I never filed for unemployment after I lost my job at Cracked. I didn't think I could because they gave me severance, and I never really looked into it.
Yeah, you can.
I should do it now.
Yeah, I think you can.
Probably
I don't
not.
Know. Probably
it's
not
fine.
At this point. I'm sure there's some statute of limitations.
Probably.
Did you ever see that Seinfeld episode? It's a statue of limitations. A sculpture of limitations. So funny. Anyway.
So, happy day after Valentine's Day, Caitlin.
Oh, thank you.
Did you do anything fun?
No, I was in Portland, flying to Portland.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You are in Portland right now.
Right now.
As we speak. Oh,
yeah,
my God. Go
I
see
know.
Caitlin.
I'm impressed with our sound quality.
Yeah. And
we will be, Carrie and I will be, because she'll, it's Saturday. She's not working.
It's a Top Gun kind of thing.
Right.
She's going to board the plane we're recording this on.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
She and I will be recording an episode of White Wine True Crime at Cooper's Hall at 6:30 on Saturday. And if you are out there, y'all should come out. We're going to be there. It's going to be fun.
Come out.
We're going to have some activities.
Quincy Johnson is in Portland.
That's what I saw.
That weekend also. There's
Weird.
A comedy festival of some nature,
I think. Perfect. Perfect.
That he's at. So.
I mean, I know.
Unpops weekend in Portland, everybody.
Hey, everyone.
Get out there.
Get the fuck out here.
Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out. And because it's the day after Valentine's Day, you and I are talking about a particularly romantic story.
This is some lovey-dovey shit.
I love that this story began... Well, the story doesn't, but we arrived at telling this story because initially you were just going to do kind of like a listicle thing of horrible Tinder experiences.
Last year around Valentine's Day, we did an episode about just
online
dating. Dates that ended in murder.
Yeah.
And this was going to be...
We're going to be more specific.
If you can believe it, there have been several Tinder-related murders since then.
I don't believe you.
And we were going to do just a rundown of some of the best...
My theory is...
Some of the greatest hits.
We've pivoted because you haven't found a single murder since then. That's
you
my
would,
theory.
You would think that
Except
in the,
for this one.
In the Me Too era, you would think, no, I didn't find any. But Caitlin, if you can believe it, men are still out there murdering women.
Well, if I
mean, sometimes it's the other way around.
Sure.
Yes. As we'll discuss today.
Yeah, however...
However, mostly it's still...
Yeah, well, the one thing that serial killers... You know, love more than anything is an independent woman. So they really handle that well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a good place to pick up women
all
if you're a serial killer.
All that fueled independence definitely does not give women a false sense of security. Not at all.
No way.
We can totally reach out to strangers on the internet and meet them places.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you're far, far, far away from home.
Yeah, preferably if you could do work in at least a 90-minute drive to the San Gabriel Valley to meet somebody. That's a dream date right there.
That was on the list I had put together. That was a running theme. It was women like traveling to other countries and being like, this is a good time for a Tinder date.
Yeah, smart.
Nope.
Yeah, my whole thing with Tinder is I don't know why any woman would go out on a date with anybody in an area with... more than two streetlights.
I don't want to go anywhere Anthony Bourdain hasn't been. And even then, a few places, I'm like, nope, I will get my pig's cheek delivered to me.
Thank you very much.
By some hipsters in Williamsburg or something.
Yeah,
that's a little too off-road for me.
I never did the online dating thing because I literally just missed it. I feel like by months. Like my husband and I got together and then suddenly people were dating online.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of experience with it. Very minimal.
I don't think I would have been very good at it.
I'm not.
Just
I'm not.
I
don't like people asking questions.
That's why Angie stuck around for so long. She just goes with the flow.
She doesn't even know my last name yet.
Fair. I don't.
Exactly.
Or do I?
Or do you? Or do I have one?
Whoa, how sad.
Right? It is sad. It's because I don't have parents.
You had serious daddy issues from the beginning.
I was born in a lab.
I knew that.
So what we're talking about today, I got sidetracked from all of that mundane, run-of-the-mill Twitter murder
shit. The message I got was, I was going to originally do stuff on Tinder like I told you, but instead we're just going to cover this one story. I was like, all right.
And I trust that not a lot of people have read a ton about, well, there's a video interview that's been circulating with this woman, but
I don't think this is as well known.
It doesn't feel like it.
It's
because our source today is the HindustanTimes.com.
Right, it's in my RSS feed.
Yeah.
So
it actually is in mine.
Well, you're
But it's through a
you have mental problems.
It's through another I don't like
Oh, it was a proxy
yeah.
arrival today.
Like a okay. link farm kind of thing.
Got it.
They were like, check out this story from the HindustanTimes.com. And I'm like, why are you're monitoring that site that closely? But thank you. And here we are.
And they knew.
This is a Bollywood movie waiting to happen.
It sure as heck is. We should make the first Bollywood horror film.
Oh, there's got to be. There have to
that
be
people,
horror movies that end
so?
With choreographed sure dance routines.
Horror movies that end with dance routines. Not that I know of, but I'm...
I mean, Bollywood movie. Because...
Yeah, I mean, there
according
are a million Bollywood movies I haven't seen, so I'm
according
probably
to my stereotypical view of Indian films.
Sure, because you're a white male.
Right.
Straight white male.
And I've seen Slumdog Millionaire, so I know my way around the
what
block.
What about Bend It Like Beckham?
I've seen Bend It Like
all right, that's,
Beckham.
That's all I have.
It's got, what's her name from The Good Wife?
I don't know.
Now I can't think
I
of...
I don't know anybody's name. I had a baby. I lost everybody's names. It's like when you lose a cell phone when you have a baby.
Kalinda.
Sure.
Kalinda Sharma.
You
which
could
is all
be,
I wonder if she's related because I think this guy's.
Your confidence is enough for me to believe that you're right.
Kalinda. She drinks milk. She was in Bend It Like Beckham.
Sure.
And she's a ace investigator on The Good Wife.
Perfect.
The last great network TV show. But let's talk about this crazy ass murder.
I love this murder.
Shall we?
Can I say that?
I think
at this point I should just be able to say that.
Yeah, like right off the bat, these two were a perfect match.
Go on.
For each other.
Go on.
It's
a fairy tale.
It really is. The article, if people want to go out and read it, it's an insane article on HindustanTimes.com called Greed, Deceit, and Lies, How a Tinder Date Ended in Murder.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
It's a great headline.
It's a fantastic headline. Caitlin, quick, what's your favorite Hindustan Times headline from childhood?
Pomp, circumstance, and birthday parties.
I remember that one.
It's a good one.
That was mine, too.
I just want you to know that I purposefully did not prepare for that question.
Oh, yeah. I didn't
even
either.
Even though I had seen the notes.
Yeah, I saw it. I didn't think
I'm
to
really happy
come up
with what came out.
An option of mine. Yeah, that was good. So in February 2018, Priya Seth, the woman.
Seth is a woman in this story.
Seth, important. When you hear us say Seth.
Let me tell you, it took me two read-throughs.
Yeah.
I was confused.
The names get confusing because...
Yeah.
It's hard to differentiate because we're ignorant Americans.
My favorite show is Dawson's Creek. That's why this is confusing to me.
Priya Seth and Dushyant Sharma. He better not be related to Kalinda Sharma. That's all I'm going to say. They met on Tinder. By May 2018, Sharma was dead and Seth was in jail on a charge of murdering him. How did we get there?
What happened?
What happened?
Online dating, yuck.
Yikes.
Ugh.
More like no line dating.
That was good.
Thank you.
That
you know what
was...
I did there?
No.
Can I explain it? I took on, flipped him around.
Whoa.
No line.
Damn.
Pow.
And I just would have done the pedestrian thing and said off. That's why you are the visionary in this relationship and I read your notes.
Right. Exactly. That makes me feel, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think of offline at all. And that doesn't.
Yeah. And that was.
That feels fine.
That's low hanging. Fruit.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's low.
I just moved that aside and grabbed no
I,
line
I,
dating.
I being my pedestrian humor.
So here's the thing. Both of these people lied to each other when they met.
It's just like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh, yeah. It kind of is.
Yeah.
And at least one of them would very much come to regret that
yeah,
lie.
Only one of them, I think, because she doesn't seem to regret shit.
There, did you watch the interview
yes.
with her?
Yeah, oh I can still see it in my mind
God.
Right now. It's intense.
She's a fucking nightmare.
I think she's a Terminator.
It seems like it.
I don't.
Yeah, I like the point in the interview where the interviewer is like, so you extorted this man. And she goes, stop.
Oh, man.
What I did is not extortion. Will you define extortion? And it was like, you're going to kill her, aren't
you? It's so stressful.
It is very stressful.
It's so weird to watch somebody who is so clearly in the wrong have no...
None.
It's not even just that she doesn't have remorse. She is puzzled and frustrated that anybody has even bothered to question her actions whatsoever.
Right.
It's
right.
Way beyond like a sociopathic response.
Yeah.
Way, 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 way beyond.
Yeah. It needs to be a movie.
It's incredible.
Like, we need to study this woman in detail. So here's how it all happened. She had led Sharma to believe that she was interested in him and not just his millions of rupees. Caitlin, there is real love in the world.
If you say so.
He, on the other hand, had given her the impression that he had millions of rupees.
Yeah, well.
Which he did not.
Yeah.
He did not have millions of rupees.
So what you're saying is people that go online and create profiles can just say whatever?
I didn't believe that was true either. And wow. I looked it up and I didn't find any laws on the books.
This is just like that part in The Fifth Element where she realizes people lie.
Oh, yeah.
And he has, you know.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
When is the government going to step in and tell us what we can and can't say online? That's the only way we're going to avoid stuff like this in the future.
I think, how did I read this? I heard somewhere that there's got to be, in order for like legislative change to occur in America, they've discovered that the body count has to be 100,000.
Oh.
On average.
So we're not even.
For a specific issue.
Yeah, we're not even close yet.
No.
Probably.
No.
I mean, there's.
If 100,000 people had died because of online dating.
Like, that would be.
I don't know, man.
That would be a whole new television industry.
Yeah, because it's not like it's not like invisibly injecting Earth with cancerous materials. It's,
yeah,
they're dying because they're online dating.
Investigation Discovery would be the nation's biggest employer.
Yeah, it'd be over. I don't think anybody.
We would need
be
a Tinder Murders Network.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I might watch.
Yeah. Oh,
you never know.
Yeah.
So that's what these two had lied to each other about. She was interested in him for his money. He didn't have the money he said he had. At 7 p.m. on May 2nd, Sharma, who was a 26-year-old project manager with a mining company, left his house in Jaipur's Shivpuri Extension in his father's car. You know the Shivpuri Extension.
I studied
it in 4th
grade.
They have the El Pollo Loco there.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, there's like a really great truck stop there.
He said,
good chimichanga.
He said he was going out for a work-related matter and would be back in an hour. That is Rameshwar Sharma, his father.
So he went out for cigarettes and never came back.
Right, like a Bruce Springsteen song.
Okay,
yeah,
got it.
This is Hungry Heart. At 9:15 p.m., seeing that he hadn't returned, I gave him a call, but it was disconnected. His phone was switched off right after. At 9:45 p.m., his wife, the adorable Bitu Sharma, I can just see her in my mind.
I can, too.
And she's just the cutest.
And her name's Bitu.
Her name's Bitu. She's so innocent and naive about the world, as we'll get to. We'll get to Bitu in a little bit.
Oh, I hurt my head.
But for now, here's a quote. He told me that one of his company's trucks had been confiscated by the police, and they are demanding a penalty of RS 8 to 10 lakh.
I don't know.
He said he would return late or in the morning. Should we look that up?
I guess so.
I'm going to run that through Google.
The Google?
The Google. The always trustworthy Google.com.
Oh.
And it brought up 10 best cars in India under RS 8 lock. Okay, thanks.
Wait.
It's all car stuff.
Okay.
It's all links to cars. Okay.
Wait, so go back. What's the syntax of it?
RS 8 to 10 LAKH.
Sure, I know, but go back to the sentence that it came from.
They are demanding a penalty of RS 8 to 10 LAKH.
So is the car being penalized or is the car the penalty?
It's a amount of money.
I feel like, I don't know. Oh, I see. So we were,
but every,
that's how you could.
We Googled that phrase and it just gave
go
us.
Go back to what we got?
Cars
best
under
cars
that amount.
Under, okay.
Wait, like
back.
Repeated
go back
lengths.
To the, go up. Just scroll up. Now scroll down. The question, the Google. Okay, which car is best? Which car is best under 10? Damn
it's
it.
All car stuff.
Is it a specific currency only for cars?
I just know, don't ever let it be said we don't do our research.
I'm so confused.
Because we're clearly trying our best.
Oh, you couldn't have put more effort into this even if you tried.
So some amount of money that is apparently enough to buy
a
car.
This comes up so many more times.
It sure does.
I knew I should have left my phone up here because I would have been covertly found just at the mercy of this. All right, let's just keep going.
So these two...
This is definitely going to be a one-star review. There's no way somebody's going to get pissed at us.
Oh, they'll be fine.
Oh, man.
So she had been married to... What is Sharma's first name? Because now there's a bunch of Sharmas. Dushyant. Come on.
The douche?
Douche. The douche.
I didn't want to just come out and say it because in my head I was reading the article and yada yada, and I'm like, the douche. But
it's like in a football game, you hear people yelling douche, and you're like, are they calling that guy a douche? And you're like, no, his name's Dushyant.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Asshole. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Oh, I guess the name was coming right here.
Yeah.
At 9:45 a.m. on May 3rd, Rameshwar, which is Dushyant's father, received a call from his son's phone number. Dushyant told me, send these people RS10 lock enough to buy a new Toyota Camry or truck
in
India.
I feel like this is a Ford Fiesta amount of money.
Or they will kill me. Please save me. Then a female voice came on the line. She said he had 20 minutes to deliver the money or his son would be dead. He wired the money, some of it, and we'll get to the finer points of that a little later. And this is a quote from him. I even sent the receipt of the transaction to his phone through WhatsApp, which...
Poor dad.
If you've never looked into WhatsApp and India, they should banish that fucking app from that nation.
Why?
WhatsApp, it is impenetrable to government. Like you cannot look at people's text messages on WhatsApp. And in India, it gets used to send... People will send around...
it's like black market stuff?
Not black market stuff. People will send around like fake videos showing kids getting abducted and saying, hey, there's like Muslims in this area that are kidnapping kids. So if you see anyone talking to a kid, maybe round them up and kill them. And then you find out the video is like a PSA from Pakistan or something about kids getting kidnapped. There are people getting lynched over accusations that they eat beef because India is becoming a really right-wing fascist nationalist
kind
of place. Well, yeah, that's
only
the thing.
Them,
you wouldn't you don't expect it from them.
Only them. They're the only ones. Good. Thank God it's just happening in India, not, you know, here.
Oh, no, it would never happen here, Caitlin.
No,
don't be silly.
No.
So he wired the money, sent the message on WhatsApp. That night, he received a call from the Jatwara police station asking him to come to the SMS hospital to look at a dead body. That's
a big boat.
That's the abbreviation for text message, too. And I was like,
I feel like the SMS hospital is a good seafaring vessel.
Either
that. Welcome to the SMS hospital.
Join the SMS hospital chat room on WhatsApp to see a picture of your dead relative.
Avast there. It looks like you need stitches.
Why does he have that accent in India?
They be sailors.
Tis the international sailor accent.
It is.
Like how people used to talk like this, see?
All over the world, everybody used to talk like this. Deliver the news, deliver milk, deliver what
this
you
got. This is how you talked. So you didn't alienate your viewer base.
It's called a transatlantic accent, thank you very much.
It sure is. 23 Skidoo. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, dead bodies.
Sure.
He received a call from the police station asking him to check his SMS messages for a picture of the dead body found by a stranger in a purple trolley suitcase lying on the highway between Jaipur and Delhi.
Can we Google trolley suitcase?
We sure can. I bet it's just a rolling suitcase like the backpack you had in school.
I don't know. I really thought we'd get a little bit more information on how much money that R2-D2 was, but we didn't. You were right.
Oh, yeah.
It's a rolly suitcase. Not unlike my rolly backpack.
How does Google think I'm living right now? Like, all of the options that came up are like Louis Vuitton, $3,250, Bloomingdale's, $1,000. I bought my suitcase on the Santa Monica Pier for $49, and I've had it for 50 years. I'm not spending money on vintage.
I really do want to know why you got that ad. Like, what are you Googling? that could possibly
I don't know.
Well, here's the best part, guys. And Theater of the Mind. Hold on. It goes Louis Vuitton, $3,250. Stylish and affordable carry-on, $69.
Bow, 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 bow. I forgot to turn the soundboard on.
Classic cabin silver, $1,000. And then he's also being recommended a luggage cart, like a hotel luggage cart, for $600.
I never use...
$600? A bellhop cart is $600?
That is... It's a good purchase if you need it, though. They're very handy. I had one at my last apartment building. I didn't. They had one in the lobby.
$600, though?
That is a lot.
That's a lot of money for what you could essentially get out of stealing a shopping cart at a grocery store.
That's true. Yeah, one thing I've noticed is if you don't use a computer a lot, like, I feel like
they're just throwing spaghetti at a wall.
Yeah, they can't track what your interests are. Because I barely use Facebook, too, so I get the craziest Facebook ads now.
Yeah, I get weird ads now, too.
So, I don't know. Maybe they're like, did this guy stop using this shitty computer because he got a better job? And now he's just back, maybe seeing, maybe he's in the market for a Louis Vuitton suitcase.
If you bought a Louis Vuitton suitcase, I would never stop laughing. If you rolled up, that would be the weirdest moment in our friendship. And if you were like, this is normal, if we're ever wildly wealthy and you really want to make me laugh, roll up with one of those. I seriously will
say no more.
I will never stop laughing. That would be the weirdest aesthetic. Will you laugh more pivot
at that or the coordinating tracksuit?
Well, I'm so down for that. You know, I'm in.
So anyway, that's what a trolley suitcase is.
We're back.
The body was mangled beyond recognition, but Rameshwar was able to identify a bunch of accessories recovered from the bag's front packet, including sacred red threads, a black amulet, and finger rings studded with astrological gemstones. So this guy was a pickup artist, clearly.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there were no goggles.
He is definitely a pickup artist.
Absolutely.
If you're wearing rings and you're a straight male, that have to do with...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a married pickup artist.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
That's sad.
So according to Sandeep Luhadia, the prosecution's lawyer, Dushyant Sharma had made a small mistake. He told Priya Seth that his name was Vivan Kohli and that he was a big businessman from Delhi. Uh-oh.
Mm.
The plot begins. Right. That's literally what it says in the notes. In February, 27-year-old Seth had also swiped right on 21-year-old Deekshant Kamra on Tinder. And in March, they rented a house together in Gandhinagar in an apartment complex called, fittingly, the article says, Eden Garden. What's fitting about that? I don't know.
The beginning of humanity where the first sin was committed.
This is the first murder in India.
Yeah, ever.
Yeah. So.
It's brought up later.
Yeah, exactly. Kamra had recently accrued a lot of debt, and you want to be responsible in that situation.
Yeah.
Obviously. You don't want to be a bad person who doesn't pay their their debts in life. So they hatched a plan to pay these debts back.
Yeah. So you're saying they got like QuickBooks and they like wrote out just like a 90-day.
They got QuickBooks Pro, and in the Pro version, you run all your expenses through it, and then they have a drop-down option for solutions to how you can pay that off.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's a nice
feature. In your
feature.
Budget, and one of the drop-downs is murder, and they pick the murder.
Hey, that explains a lot.
It sure does. Like that's,
most of the murders in Newport Beach.
Right.
They're just QuickBooks users. Yeah. I didn't know that.
That's why...
Oh, I feel like an asshole.
That's why Investigation Discovery is such an ardent sponsor of QuickBooks, because
there are a lot of QuickBooks ads.
Yeah, those debt-fueled murders really keep the network afloat. So they decided to...
Murder. Plan A.
Commit a murder.
Plan A. Murder.
Where else would you go from there? Priya Seth and Deekshant Kamra prepared a plot to kidnap Dushyant and extort money from Dushyant Sharma. The plan was easy enough.
Well, yeah.
It could have worked. What they didn't take into account was that he was lying also.
All along.
Right?
This is definitely a case of two wrongs not making a right.
Yeah, yeah. This is
not good.
Wrong place, wrong time for at least one of these people. I mean, her too, sort of, but...
I'm not saying he deserves what happened to him, but what does he think... I mean, like, what's the best case scenario in this situation? He finds a hot girl that fucks him and they never talk again, even though he's posing as a millionaire.
Oh, sure.
As a millionaire, he thinks he's going to be able to get rid of people.
Right.
like, he's just not thinking.
It's definitely a thing he could have avoided by not being, like, not to victim blame, but here we go. He could have avoided this by just not being on, being a married man on
all
Tinder.
He had to do to avoid this was not lie about being a millionaire.
Right, yeah.
That's all he had to do. I'm just saying, like, think it through. If you're meeting random women on the internet and your honeypot is your fake millions of dollars, anybody with millions of dollars will tell you that's the last thing you want to put out there because that just attracts crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go.
And it worked in this case. So Sharma drove to a place near Jaipur's Bhaskar Pulia.
Yeah, familiar?
Coffee shop down there. Mm-hmm. To meet Priya Seth. They had previously met in restaurants four or five times for coffee, said the investigating officer Gur Bhupender Singh.
Yeah.
This time, she sat in his car and directed him to her house, where Kamra and a friend of his, Lakshya Walia, allegedly lay in wait. They tied him up, slipped a polythene bag over his head, thrashed him, and pulled out his wallet from his pocket.
This is not good.
No.
What happens next?
Next, they see the name on his identity cards and realize not the right person.
No bueno.
So at that point, Sharma tells them the truth. He says not only is he not rich, he's just a local kid like them who was just lying to get some tail. And now here we all are. This needs to be a movie.
I agree.
It'll be a very sad movie, especially the part, if they include this part where me and you keep trying to suss out what these currency amounts actually mean.
That's the most depressing movie ever.
That'll be
boring.
On the bonus features.
Yeah, it's just, oh no, here come all the amounts. Go ahead.
So they beat him a little more after finding out who he was. Then Seth and Kamra asked Sharma to arrange for RS 10 lock.
Right.
Or prepare to die.
I would have so many questions. If somebody literally said that to me, I would be like, well, I'm going to die because I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't know.
I don't know anyone.
Prepare your currency here? How does that work?
Yeah, I wouldn't know if someone said, bring me RS-10 lock.
I'm so overwhelmed.
I'd be looking for a video game.
I mean, I would definitely be like, look, I need you to let me Google this. And then it would just be car deals.
Instead, he phoned a friend.
Oh.
They asked him to call his father.
Who wants to be a thousandaire?
Rameshwar, his father, who was an accountant at a local cooperative, said he only had RS-3 lock. Come on.
Definitely seven less than he needs.
That is. We do know that much.
If anything.
If anything.
That also might not be accurate either. I don't know.
This is so crazy. My manager at the Union Bank said Dushyant had to update his PAN to receive this payment.
What the hell?
How do you not escalate that to management?
Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
Like, this is an active kidnapping situation. Can we please get a soup on the phone?
If my life depended on downloading an app that required my iPhone password, I'd be dead. Because I would have to reset it. I can never remember.
Oh, sure.
My Apple password, I think I reset every single time I need to.
Yeah, that happens to me a lot because I use.
I am a password black hole.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of my passwords. The best chance I have is to look at the app and think about what point in my life I was at when I downloaded the app to best guess what password it was.
But that is crazy that it came down to that in a kidnapping. It's like, well, his PIN's not accurate, sir.
Unbelievable.
There's got to be a back door around that. In the meantime, Seth and Kamra learned that Sharma's debit card had a daily withdrawal limit of RS 25,000. I bet that's. Let's look that up. I feel like it's going to give us.
What's the abbreviation for?
I think that's rupees.
Is it rupees
or RuPaul's?
No, RuPaul's. That's gone now.
I said RuPaul's.
Oh.
I was being funny. Rupees.
It is rupees. Okay.
And when you convert it to dollars.
It's $351.12.
Which, just keep that.
That makes sense that that's the daily withdrawal limit.
Oh, sure.
But they're asking for a total of 10. Convert, please.
How do, oh, 10 what?
10,000. No. It's 100,000. They're asking for 100,000 rupees for this man's life, which comes out to $1,400.
$100. Is that all they're asking for? RS?
I think so.
10? Lock? What does the lock mean? Damn it! Damn you, India.
you and I are never going to get those ambassador jobs that we wanted.
Never. I might even withdraw my application just so it doesn't show up.
I'm going to roll the dice. My record. Let it stay in the database. Just see what happens.
Yeah. You never know. You never know. So RS25,000. Keep that conversion rate in mind.
So $350.
Right. Because we're going to get to a point in this story where RS followed by five figures comes up just, a whole lot.
But is 10 lakh like when we say like 100 million or something like that?
There are so many people listening to this just you
know. Just cut this out. Frothing, I know, but I want to understand.
Rage. It's 100,000.
I knew it.
100,000. So 10. So that's, is that a million? Because 100,000.
Do you have to do math? That's not good.
Is a million.
God.
100,000 times 10.
I haven't felt this stupid in a really long time.
Yeah.
Just go back.
It doesn't matter. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
And they're settling for a $350 withdrawal.
Well, that's all they can take out. So that's one of the hitches in their giddy up is that.
To use a parlance of their area.
Exactly.
Right out of the province.
They've stolen all this money and they can only take out a small amount each day.
That's a pretty small amount.
That is very small compared to how much they were asking for and how much they got. Because they got, it sounds like, 300,000 is the amount he
initially
sent them.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they ended up negotiating it down to.
But we're still only talking. Okay.
They also were concerned about the chances of his dad alerting the police. Yeah. I don't know why.
I don't know. But yeah. A lot of time was taken up for resetting his password. So they made a little bit of a cushion there for themselves.
And in this interim, when he's trying to get his son's PIN number or PAN number reset, they decide to kill Dushyant Sharma,
right.
Which that's harsh.
They don't just kill him, though.
No. We'll get to the murder, but let me just read this quote from the article because I love the way they word it. Because remember, this is on the Hindustan Times, so it's not all going to cross the bridge.
No, so it's not translated
in the right order. And it says, extremely upset at the botch up of their plan. They decided to kill Dushyant Sharma, which I'm sure that's not a grammatical error in India. That's just a fancy way of saying it, and I like it a whole lot.
I wonder if, extremely upset about the fuck up of their plan is what I'm hearing, and I love that. I mean, I know what botched means also.
Oh, yeah, but sure. So they decide to kill
Dushyant
Sharma. There were 10 stab marks found on his neck.
In the neck. Like, that's a lot of stabbing for that real estate.
It's a lot of neck stabs. Yeah.
Ow.
Dikshant initially sat across his chest and first tried to strangle him with his hands and then suffocate him with a pillow. None of that worked.
Some Rasputin shit. They just couldn't kill this guy.
Then Priya Seth brought a fruit knife from the kitchen and handed it to him. He stabbed Sharma 10 to 11 times. Comrade Seth drove to a market in Sharma's car to buy a trolley bag, which we discussed earlier.
Yeah, can range from $69 to $3,000.
Right. They drove to a market, bought a trolley bag, brought it home, stuffed his body in it, drove out once again to toss it off on the highway, picking up Walia on the way. Why would you want to be picked up? Be like, I'm done. We're fine.
I would tap out at this point.
Yeah, but I guess maybe you just want to make sure they don't fuck up disposing of the body.
Yeah, I mean,
because that would be a problem.
Well,
yeah, and they kind of fuck it up.
Yeah. I don't know if adding another brain into the mix really helped much.
No. So between buying the bag and returning home, Seth had received a call on Sharma's phone. It was his dad, obviously, saying that he had deposited is obviously 300,000 rupees in his son's account. Next thing, but his son's dead by this point, obviously.
Yeah, he just doesn't know.
And next thing Seth did was go to an ATM with her face wrapped in a shawl and took out 25,000 rupees. They bought a fake license plate number and parked a safe distance from the house and waited. But early on May 4th, a team of policemen found them sitting in Sharma's car near the railway station in Gantinagar. And they were...
Yep, I know exactly.
You know the one.
Yeah.
By the railway station, though, not the, east Gantinagar, west.
There's donut shop.
Because west is the Dollar General in the donut shop.
Yeah.
Good orange iced cake donut there.
Hard to find. Everywhere
in India, though. So let's talk about Sharma's. It turned out Sharma had a little bit of a secret life going.
He is the prototypical secret life guy.
Oh, yeah. At home, he was an obedient son, a caring husband, a father who prayed after he woke up and counted the prayer beads before he went to sleep. The really devoutly religious never
have anything to hide.
Never do anything like this. So
never.
This is an oddity.
Know.
Yeah. He had only two friends, no more. He never left the house after coming back from work in the evening. That's a quote from his dad.
Do you think he cycled out friends? Like, do you think he had one friend and then, like, a slot that people would occupy occasionally and then...
Probably. That's the era we're living in now. You can do that with your car if you want. Why not with your friends?
I'm just checking. I just like that he had two friends. No more.
No more!
Could not manage more than two friends.
This is a quote from his mother. My son was simple and straightforward. No mischief.
Nope.
A little bit of mischief. He was shy, said his wife, B2. In 3 years, he never said a rude word to me. He helped me with housework. He was fond of cooking. Kadai paneer, haribara kebab, spring rolls, touched elders' feet. Never spoke to any of my female friends. He used to hide in our room if they came home. He wasn't interested in Ajkalki Ladkian, which is modern girls. Hey, can we talk about the touched elders' feet part for a second?
Stressed me out.
What is that? Is that a thing you have to do in India?
To Google, Adam. You've got to Google that.
How about touching of elders' feet?
Touching of elders. Can we? I'm going to say it like a Wheel of Fortune contestant. Touching of elders' feet.
Why do Indians touch the feet of their elders? Elders, says theculturetrip.com.
Find out.
Let's click and find out.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, are you a video?
That's the worst.
Get out of here.
Okay. The touching of feet of elders is an age-old Indian tradition that is considered to be a mark of respect. I kind of figured that's where we're at.
Sure.
This gesture can be seen in almost all Hindu families, both in India and abroad. In fact, some Bollywood movies and soaps have also depicted this common practice. Indians believe that when a person bows down and touches the feet of their elders, their ego gets suppressed, as this gesture indicates respecting the age, experience, achievements, and wisdom of the person whose feet are being touched. The elder person then, in turn, blesses the person touching their feet. I'm not going to go into the here more.
Well, yeah, this is a very long article. The first point is the right way to touch feet.
I'm stressed out now.
I do it like a high five. Give me a kick. Because then I can get
gotta
the
watch
bottom
out
of their
for
foot.
Those planters warts, though.
Yeah.
But now we know. So
now we know.
He was a regular foot toucher.
He was
regularly showed respect to elders.
The kind of foot toucher you want to bring home to mom.
Do not fit into his friend category.
No. They're just elders that he respects.
Sure.
He doesn't treat his friends good enough.
There's no friend foot touching. Just the elders.
Absolutely. I mean, maybe accidental, but.
Well, I mean, we're only human.
Meanwhile, Bittu has a smartphone, but she hardly uses the internet or social media. Sharma, meanwhile, loved the internet. And that is a recipe for disaster right there.
That's the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think a person that doesn't use the internet, if that's the thing that you say out loud. If you say that you don't use the internet,
yeah,
there's no way you could possibly grasp the different ways a human being could lead a completely different life.
Right, right.
Although I will say, as a person who's married, I don't look at my husband and think, I wonder if he's leading a double life. I'm thinking, is he going to take out the train?
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't think about those things.
It still takes so much time and effort to, like, live a double life, I would imagine. There'd have to be so many text messages and...
At least two phones.
Yeah, yeah.
My friend just found out that her boyfriend, who she just broke up with, was leading a double life.
Oh, shit.
And was with several other women.
That's gross.
It's so gross. I feel so bad for her. And now he's, like, obsessed with her.
And who's got that kind of time?
She had to move to a different state. Well, exactly. I don't know.
That's...
It's clearly a person that's letting everything else fall apart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, this is a quote from her. He liked exploring new things. He was fond of online shopping. He also ordered food online.
That's how you know a person doesn't use the internet. They marvel at somebody's ability to order food online.
He just goes on the computer and then there's a pizza here.
It's exactly like magic.
It's like a tikka masala pizza, but...
Oh, yum.
I bet that is good.
Somebody makes that.
Yeah, I would try it. So now
Ooh,
let's...
Is that like Indian cheese?
Paneer?
Yeah.
Oh, man. There's a really good Indian buffet close to here. If you ever...
Next time we're going to go there.
Yeah, we should.
And we're going to go to Rouse.
Rouse, our favorite pasta sauce, has a restaurant.
We should have opened with this. This was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very scary... A very scary example of Instagram clearly listening to my conversations.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
However, I'm very grateful for this find, and I don't really care.
Was that a sponsored thing that showed up?
Yeah.
Yikes!
Yeah, so Rouse is a little Big Brother-y.
Yeah, because we haven't mentioned that anywhere but on the podcast. About
I have never had a conversation with someone about Rouse in my life until that night, so...
Oh, man. Thanks, Instagram.
Anyway,
that's not
so
creepy.
Adam and I are definitely going to go to Rouse and have lunch.
Absolutely.
And post about it.
And then we'll be like, we could have made this at home.
I definitely don't think I can make that pasta sauce at home. The spicy one's the best.
I got to try it still. Shout out to Rouse.
If you can wait until Christmas.
I mean, I could. Let's talk about Seth. Priya Seth was born and raised in a middle-class family in a small town in Rajasthan, called Falna. This is a quote from her dad. Got 90% in 10th boards, 85% in 12th boards. Good at dance, debating. Our shelves are lined with her medals and certificates. You can't tell this seeing her in jail, but she used to be so beautiful.
I can't imagine why she grew up with a bad opinion of men.
Yeah, yeah. You can't tell her now without all the makeup on.
God, he's like...
Harsh.
Yeah.
When she went off to college, her dad says she got trapped by the wrong kind of people. Through newspaper advertisements for easy money, she came in contact with pimps who offered to pay her money for recruiting college girls as escorts.
I'm telling you, this is all a Bruce Springsteen song.
Oh, yeah.
All of it.
Yeah, her name would be Mary if she lived in the United States.
She ain't a beauty, but yeah, she's all right.
She became addicted to money, began to smoke, drink. What?
She sounds fun to me up until the next dad part.
Yeah, it gets sad. She eventually launched her own business, a website that offered high-profile escorts to businessmen. Her transactions were only one way, though. She would basically show up, demand the money from these dudes, and then say she had to go out and pay the driver and then just leave.
I love it.
Yeah.
I don't feel sorry for any of these guys.
Yeah, I don't doubt that that happens a lot in the United States, too, and... Yeah, that's,
I mean,
like, you're entering into, like, basically you're participating in sex trafficking at that point.
Yeah, you're not basically, you are. It's happening.
Yeah.
You're part of the problem.
So if you get robbed in the process of that.
Yeah, because it's not like, it's not like anybody is pursuing, you know, sex workers the way people, you know, adopt dogs these days.
Right.
Like, nobody's like, well, where were they found? Like, is this organization reputable? are there foster homes being, you know, monitored? Nobody does that with sex traffickers.
No, no.
At all. They're just like, so 7:30?
Exactly.
I got a flight out of Dallas tomorrow morning, so I got to do an early night.
So that was basically her job. She said she did this to thousands of people.
Fine.
There's an interview we'll point everyone to. We'll post it on the website where she talks about it. But in 2014, one of her clients filed a case of cheating against her in Shyamnagar police station. She was arrested but released on bail shortly thereafter. And in that case, she was basically extorting a guy.
Yeah, this is where we make a left turn.
Yeah, what she was saying was that she was pregnant and that she was going to come drop the baby at his doorstep if he didn't give her like 25,000
rupees. The
hallmark
of a wonderful mother.
Right.
And, I'm giving up. Here you go.
Right. And she wasn't pregnant either.
Well, no.
This was only one of three FIRs, which are arrests spiced with cardamom and fennel seed.
Oh, I always wondered.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I think those are arrests. FIRs?
Sure.
Gotta be like...
Yeah.
Registered against her in Jaipur's police stations before her May arrest. She was picked up by the police again in 2014 for attempting to slice open an ATM with a gas cutter.
What is a gas cutter?
I don't know. It's time to take a research break.
Thank you. Oxy-fueled welding and cutting. No, go to images.
Yeah,
we
need to see a picture of this thing being... Oh, it's just like a little...
How do you slice open an ATM with
that,
though?
I think it's a welding torch.
Oh.
I think we're
just... What threw us off was the use of slicing. I was expecting some kind of...
But if anything's going to slice metal, it would be a welding torch.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying, though?
Oh, no, definitely.
You know.
We both took this... trip together.
Yeah, you're right.
And now we're heading back into the station.
This seems like a clunky use. I mean, I could see how she got cut.
Yeah.
That thing is big and long and maybe loud.
You don't commit a covert crime with something that's so bright you're not allowed to look directly at it without glasses.
That old chestnut.
That's going to direct some attention your way.
That's going to be my next lower back tattoo.
It's a good one.
Yeah, they're really stacking up, though. I guess it's not even lower back.
You're going to need
anymore.
More lower back.
Yeah.
Like Marilyn Manson had extra lower back added so he could have more lower back tattoos.
I'm pretty sure you can achieve that with yoga.
Yeah, either way. Earlier in 2018, she spent a month in jail on a charge of extorting RS 7.5 lakh. That is 750,000 rupees, Caitlin.
Got it.
I think. From her live-in partner at the time.
Well, that's how you get caught.
By threatening him with false rape charges. And this interview that we'll put up on the website, there's a really interesting segment where they're interviewing a cop.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she's being completely honest about the state of sexual assault allegations in India, but she's like, if a woman accuses a man of rape, we're just going to go arrest him and put him in jail because we assume she's telling the truth. That's just how society has changed now. And now some women are abusing it. And this is a woman saying this, and I'm like, is that?
That's gnarly.
Is that really true?
I don't know.
Because I hear so much about...
Despite all like, of the knowledge that I've been able to lean on throughout this entire episode, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's basically what she's accused of in that case, is extorting $750,000 by saying she's going to file fake rape claims. And this guy...
Man, I feel like she's like... In like the world of all of this, like kind of, you know, the divine feminine rising and all of these women kind of screaming into the void, not feeling like they're being heard. She's like way on the other end of the spectrum.
Right.
Just taking all of that negative energy and using it to make money and scare the shit out of men.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much I hate it.
Yeah. And I mean, she.
Up until the end.
In that interview, she's like, look, what I'm doing is social justice. It's.
Yeah, she's a hooker Batman. I mean, she's, I don't know. She didn't quite go as far as Eileen Wuornos, but I guess she did at one point. Now.
Yeah. So she has become, and if you watch the interview with her, you'll understand why. She has become kind of a household name in this part of India.
Yeah.
The coverage of her is all about like her lifestyle and all the money she made. And
they talk about her like she's a dime store novel harlequin woman.
Yeah.
She drinks whiskey and shows her ankles. Like
she smoked Marlboros and drank Black Label in... This is a quote from the article. She smoked Marlboro and drank Black Label in whiskey and Himalayan in water. So she drank Black Label
Wild
whiskey
woman.
And Himalayan water like a princess. Also, this detail is going to be important, everybody. Her branded shoes from Mumbai... Cost 35,000 rupees. Write that down.
Did. It's right here.
Because it might come up again. That is another either cop or reporter. Like they sort of lose.
Have you ever noticed how often people focus on shoes in stories about women?
Yeah.
Like Imelda Marcos.
Yeah,
or
Imelda
whatever.
Marcos. That was right, the whole
her
thing.
Whole
she had
the shoe story. And then yeah. It's just interesting. Like people, that seems to be like the hallmark of a woman's worth is how much. Not even a woman's worth, but just her station in life is how much her shoes are worth.
Right.
And then I guess it's only upsetting because of how she's getting the money.
Yeah. Yeah. They really focus on her shoes.
Right.
As you'll hear. I don't know who Dainik Bhaskar was. I don't remember if that was a cop or a reporter. But these are a bunch of fucking quotes. He estimated her haul from 5 years of illegal activity to be RS 1.7 5 crore? That better be a million. Come on. How much money do you have in India that you have to just...
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, it is a million.
Oh, we're still on images.
Yeah, but it's a...
10 million? 100 lakhs.
100 million.
100.
See, and I don't know how to finish the sentence
100,
because I don't know.
110,000? I don't know. So 10 million. So 1.75
I would be so good at math
million?
If every time I had to deliver one quantity of anything, I would have to build math into communicating it.
Either way, that's probably a lot of money. There's another writer who estimated that her shoes from Mumbai, they also say from Mumbai every time when they bring up her shoes.
That's an interesting cultural thing. I don't know what that
80,000 rupees was his estimate. That's a 45,000 rupee increase from the last estimate.
Is that all of the shoes?
No, I think the shoes she was wearing. Because okay. Remember, this is only like $600, $700, $800, something like that.
So they're, yeah, like $800 shoes.
Yeah.
That she wore to court.
And her designer watch cost 45,000 rupees. And he estimated her monthly expenses at 2 lakh, which is 200,000 rupees, we think. She was fond of expensive perfumes, clothes, cosmetics, and air travel.
Well, who is it?
Said Rajasthan Patrika, who revealed...
Unlike any other woman on the planet.
Right.
She's
exactly.
The only one that's ever liked any of this shit.
This was her lawyer speaking on conditions of anonymity. She has an art. She doesn't chase money. Money chases her.
That sounds like the opening to a Real Housewives
Oh, season. Yeah. But there's like
I don't
saxophone
chase money.
Music playing.
Money chases me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
Real Housewives of Long Beach. That's what I'm going to say.
The Real Housewives of Mumbai.
Nope. I don't think they have that.
I would watch it if they did. This is a quote from Sharma's aunt. Once a woman loses her jijak, which is hesitation, there is nothing she will stop at. And she added that her branded shoes from Mumbai cost 35,000 rupees. Hey! That is an undervaluation of her shoes.
It's really not fair.
It's not nice.
No, it's not nice.
It's not nice to do to her. So
well, I mean, what... I just need to gauge my hate, and they're all over the map. You know what I'm saying? You can't go from one amount to the next the way they've been doing.
Right.
Just confuses me.
At least I feel like we've landed on a number we can agree on.
Right.
35,000.
Well, I feel like we've fluctuated wildly, but let's stick with 35.
We'll stick with 35,000. And then here's one last quote from the prosecution's lawyer. She asked her lawyer to appeal to the court to allow her to smoke in the jail. Can you believe that? And then they added, she wears shoes worth 75,000 rupees.
God damn it.
Fuck!
I'm so confused.
How much are these shoes?
I mean, I don't even know how much they are if you tell me how much they are. So if you're also just fluctuating the amount, I feel unmoored. I'm lost at sea.
I don't know if it's crazier that every person commented on how much her shoes cost, or that this article included every comment on how much her shoes cost.
You know
cost.
What would be helpful for me? If they could just tell me, even with the exchange rate, how many luggage carts it equated to. Because I know how much those are now.
Someone do that math for us, please. Show your work.
Please show your work, because I'm confused.
Why would you not show your work? So this turned into basically a huge public spectacle of a trial. And one of the things that really drew people's attention... And again, we'll put this interview up on the website. She has no remorse over any of this. Like, she is ice fucking cold talking about all of this.
She's not ice cold. She's fired up and annoyed that people are asking her anything about it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not, I don't think ice cold is like she's passionately perturbed.
Yeah. Yeah. She really doesn't understand why this is such a big deal. It seems like
I'm really fascinated by that interview because what came to light is the fact that she's operating on, she has such a clear vision for whatever her code is.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it's a good thing. I'm just saying I wish I was that clear on any of the decisions that I made throughout the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you're going to kill someone, you better fucking understand why you're doing it. But I mean, how many people kill people and they don't know why they're doing it?
Yeah. I mean,
it fits into her whole thing.
Every once in a while, you encounter a person in life and you realize you've never really been passionate about anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, she is passionate about robbing men of their money and sometimes murdering them. I saw a person brewing their own coffee at the gate at an airport once, just as we were waiting to board the plane, pulled out a fucking coffee maker with like the globes and shit and just started brewing there. And it's like, I've never...
You can't even get mad at that.
I've never even sort of cared about anything that much.
No.
Like, you're hard-pressed to get me to edit a podcast at an airport. I'm like, fuck that, I'm on vacation.
Oh, no.
This person is... There's so much coffee at an airport.
It's mostly coffee at an airport.
It's mostly just coffee.
It's magazines and coffee.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Bad food.
Mostly bad food, yeah.
Unless you're lucky enough to land in one with a Cinnabon.
Cinnabon is... pretty great. Harry Carey's restaurant, if you're ever at Midway Airport in Chicago. Mwah.
Noted.
Very nice. So, speaking to police reporters on May 4th when she was brought in, This is a quote from her. Is this the first murder committed in India? Which is such a serial killer maniac thing to say when you don't understand why so many cameras have showed up to see this fucking clearly deranged.
The thing that she doesn't have is self-awareness.
Right.
She has self-possession. She's very aware of what she's doing and why she's doing it, but she cannot fathom, she does not understand why it's gotten the reaction it's gotten.
Right.
Which is terrifying.
It's terrifying and amazing to watch.
Yeah.
When she was asked about her escort service fraud, you can see in this video, one, she gets really mad when they call it extortion, but then doesn't offer up an alternative for something to call it. She just gets mad that they call it extortion.
Yeah.
And she described...
I'm a small business owner.
She described what she did as social justice cut short by her arrest, which kind of.
A
little bit. On September 12th, the three accused were produced in Jaipur's session court for the first time. All eyes were on Seth. She was dressed in a yellow kurta, a black salwar, and a golden dupatta. You never wear the golden dupatta I bought you for Christmas one
year.
Well,
you're really forgiving with the size you thought I am. I don't fit into it yet. I'm still losing the baby weight.
But
just give me time.
It's golden. It.
I'm telling you, if it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. And there's no give in fabric made of gold, so... Just give
That's
me a fucking
it's
break.
It's heavy, too.
Yeah.
I always forget
that. I have
that.
To, like, weight train to wear
and
that
I have
thing.
Stairs here. Yeah, you're right.
Just give me a little space. I've got pants I'm still trying to fit into, let alone your weird Christmas gift that I still can't explain to my husband in a normal way.
Yeah, well, sometimes you just come across a golden dupatta.
Yeah, and you thought of me, which I think is very sweet.
Right. So her, one of the things they brought up was that her face looked really pale in her mugshots, which
well, give
she's
her
just,
a, yeah.
Yeah, they don't have makeup. Teams on set. This also is from the article. The crowd was so mesmerized by the sight of her as she strode towards the stand that they hardly noticed the young men entering the court. Welcome to India. Because there are two other accomplices in this, but it's mostly focusing on her. But when you watch that interview, you kind of get why it's focusing mostly on her.
She's fascinating. I mean, there's definitely a lane here where you could say, you know, well, of course they're focusing on her appearance because she's a woman and all of that, but her personality is I don't know about magnetic, maybe enigmatic.
Yeah.
There's so much there.
And what's crazy is she committed, we find this
she
out.
She reminded me of Heidi Fleiss.
Yeah.
Like, this reminds me of Heidi Fleiss.
Yeah,
or
Lorena bit.
Bobbitt or something like that, where
right.
it's like...
Jodi Arias.
There are women... Jodi Arias, not so much, because she... It took two to tango with that one. He led her on. It made her... She was already crazy. It is what it
yeah.
is. Well, it's not it is what it is. Of course, I feel sorry for this guy. But anyway, my point is, Heidi Fleiss, Lorena Bobbitt, this woman, their stories are, they tap into something in women.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, tabloid journalism runs off of women. I don't care.
Oh, sure.
I don't care what anybody says. Like,
yeah.
It's, and this is just one of those stories where it's like, well, okay, so she was going after married men. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She was taking away money from married men who were cheating on their wives. Okay.
Right.
She's a fierce dresser. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still listening. Like,
yeah, it's one of those things where if there is a movie
plus
about...
her personality. Sorry, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And that's the real Heidi Fleiss part of it, because Heidi Fleiss didn't give a fuck. She
right.
still doesn't.
And if there was a movie about this woman, she'd probably come off as pretty likable right up until the point where she kind of orders this dude to be murdered.
Depending on how the guy's depicted.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's true, too.
I mean,
so
I love Hannibal Lecter.
So what's really crazy about this is she committed this murder like a month after she got arrested for that blackmail thing.
Yeah.
So she really didn't give a shit.
It is important to bring up this interview is not connected to the murder.
No.
This is other interrogation footage that existed before these charges came up.
So yeah, we'll put a link to the interview because we can't. It wouldn't do us any good to play it because it's...
You have to see her face.
You have to see her face, and she's not speaking English, if I recall correctly.
Oh, yeah.
It's all subtitles.
Small detail.
There's that, too. So, what do we have to plug before we get out of here? This will be up on the
15th,
so you'll be in Portland.
I'm in your city. Come out to the Cooper's Hall on Saturday night at 6:30. We will be doing White Wine True Crime Live.
Very nice. And February 23rd, come to the Hollywood Hotel. Saturday, 9 p.m., the Unpop stand-up show. I need to book the rest of the guests. Alex Schmidt.
That's a thing.
Tom Ryman's on it. Tom Goss.
Oh, awesome.
Tom Goss from the Mean Boys.
He's so funny.
I'll be there. Quincy will be there. Carrie was supposed to do it, but she's not now.
Okay. Well, so she's busy.
She's busy. She's got things going on.
Busy woman.
And others. I don't remember who. Hannah Michaels, Chris Crittenden. We'll book more people. That's happening. So come to that.
Come to that.
Come to it.
All right. Are we good?
We're good. Let's get out of here. Caitlin, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
We love ya. I'm going to go to the hospital.